Welcome to Hope Community Church. We are so glad that you are here. And as my wife said, we have a lot going on, so many announcements, so many different things. And we just invite you to plug in, you know, whether it's the men's night or if you're a teen, or we're going swimming after, just whatever it is that you would just plug in. And we believe that through fellowship and through the fellowship of brothers and sisters in Christ, that we're going to continue to grow and that God is going to do some incredible things. Amen. Amen. So we're continuing our series in the book of Psalms. How many guys have been reading through the Psalms on your spare time? And God's been speaking to you. We love the Psalms. Psalms are like songs of David. They were songs of praise. They were songs of worship. And David was a worshiper. Amen. You know, God says this about David, that he was a man after my own heart. And so if we want to be men and women that are after God's own heart, we can read the Psalms and we can glean bits and pieces from that and how David was just so awe-inspired of who God was. Amen. And so today we're in the book of Psalms, verse 24. And we're looking at this was a psalm written by David. It was written during a time when the Ark of the Covenant was going back to Jerusalem, making its way back to Jerusalem. And so David begins to write this psalm. In verse 1, it says this: "The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and those that dwell therein." And so we have this little image of being in the world and we're zooming out. You know, this earth that we see is the Lord's. Everything in it is the Lord's. He made it. He sustained it. And we zoom in out and we see the galaxies and we see different planets that will be passing. And the earth is the Lord's. And all that he created is the Lord's. And the fullness thereof, everything that is on the earth, he not only made it, but he sustains it. It's not only made by him, but it's made for him. It's made for his glory. Amen. It says, "The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and those who dwell therein." And so as this thing is zooming out and zooming out and zooming out, you realize how small and almost insignificant earth is compared to the universe. You realize that, wow, what an awesome and incredible God that we serve. And we're still zooming out and we're still seeing planets and different things. And you're going to see the Milky Way and the different things. And you realize, wow, earth is so, so, so small in comparison to this ginormous universe that God created. Yet he holds it in the palm of his hands. He holds it. That's how big God is, amen? And that he holds and he sustains all these things. He put the stars in the sky, and he made them to stay where they're at. They're not drifting off in space. As you can see, we're still zooming out because that's how great our God is. Look at all his creation, and we wonder, man, he is so magnificent. He is so wonderful, and he is so great. Amen. And we are so small. These little circles kind of indicate earth, and it's drifting off and drifting off. God is so magnificent. He's so big. I want you to see it with your eyes, how great and how grand God is this morning. "The world and those who dwell therein." Now, you can't even see the earth anymore. You can't even see it. It's but a speck. But God is so concerned about the earth and those who dwell on the earth that he is so concerned about you. He is so concerned about every part of you, everything that makes you, you. He is concerned about that. In the vastness of all of this, that God looks at earth and he says, "I love you. I'm going to send my son to die for you." What an awesome and incredible God. And so David is writing this, and he is just awestruck. And now they didn't have telescopes like we have today. And so they would just look at the stars, and they would look at the sun, and they would still be in awe and still be in wonder of what God created. And how much more we ought to be in awe and wonder of the great galaxies and everything that God created. It's amazing, right? It's beautiful. It's awe-inspiring. "The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof." He is Creator God. How many of you guys ever heard of an exoplanet before? And so we don't just have planets, but we have exoplanets, which are planets that are not even a part of our solar system. You know that there's over 2,343 exoplanets that are found through this new telescope. Isn't that amazing? The vastness of our God. And so the more that we see of this, the more we realize how small we really are. In fact, we were at the men's conference, and it was amazing. They had an astronaut who was at the men's conference, and who was in space for 6 months. Now, that's pretty awesome in itself, right? But that's one thing he began to point out. He's like, man, just how small Earth is, and then how small we are in comparison to all of that. But then how great God is, because he holds all this in his hands. What an awesome thought. God spoke these things into existence, and they were sustained by his voice. You know, he owns it all. He owns the exoplanets, but he also owns the microorganisms. He owns the little ants that you smash. He owns the roaches that crawl in your cabinets. He owns it. He owns them all, right? You guys look at him like, I ain't got no roaches in my cabinets. You live in South Louisiana. I know better. He owns them all. He owns the roaches. He owns the little bugs. He owns the ants. They are all his. They are created by him and for his glory. And I preached a message a while back that roaches are important, so you ought to backtrack and try to find that message, but we're not talking about that today. Amen. So anyway, so the title of this one, it's called Let Him In. Let Him In. And so we're talking about this God who is so vast and so big and so enormous. How can a God that is so big come on the inside of us? It's amazing. It's an awe-inspiring idea. But that is the very God who we serve. He wants to come in. And he wants to inhabit our lives, and he wants to, just make our lives not better than what it is. He wants to totally do away with our old life and give us a brand new life. Amen. And so the first thing that I want to talk about is we let him in by accepting your portion in this life. We let him in by accepting your portion in his life. So we already established the fact that the earth is the Lord's, and everything that is in it is the Lord's. Therefore, he allocates to one, and he allocates to another. And so whatever it is that you find yourself with, whether it's your house, your family, that is your portion that the Lord allow you to be a steward over. So are you content with the fact that God owns everything, and yet he has given you a portion? Are you content with that? Are you content with the portion that God has given you? And so we let him in whenever we accept. God, I realize that you are creator God. I realize that you have created the heavens and the earth, and that you own everything, and that this is the portion that you have entrusted me with. I'm gonna be content with that. I'm gonna say, thank you, Lord. I'm gonna give you praise. I'm gonna whatever it is that you've given me, I'm gonna make it better. And I'm just going to be faithful with it. It might be small. It might be insignificant. I'm going to be faithful with the portion that you have given me. So you let him in by accepting your portion in this life. You know, we give our kids an allowance every month. And, it's up to us what we give our children. They don't call the shots. They don't say, Dad, I want $100 this month instead of, you know, whatever it is that we give them. They don't call the shots. We call the shots. We say, no, this is your allowance, this is your portion, and this is the work that you're going to do for that. Because we don't give our kids allowance for free. Amen. But anyway, we allocate that portion. Why? Because we own that portion. That is our money. Actually, it's God's money. He has stewarded it to us, but we have also given it to them. And so it is, whatever it is, whatever your portion is on this earth, it has been given to you by God. He owns it all. Amen. The next thing I want to talk about is that we are to let him in to inspire awe and wonder. So when we've seen this little video and we think of the galaxies and the planets and everything, we ought to be in awe and wonder of who God is. You know, we were at the camp in Montague this week with a bunch of college kids, college age kids, and, you know, just being out there on the water, on the wharf, throwing the fishing pole, it was awe and inspiring. I mean, we were not catching a single fish. We were catching some catfish. But, man, it was just so peaceful. It was just so awe-inspiring. It's like you just couldn't help but admire God's beautiful creation. And it's just, you might be thinking, man, Montague, God's beautiful creation? Yes, it was absolutely beautiful. And it is awe-inspiring. It's everything that we experience in this life should cause us to think about the goodness of our God. Amen. So it should be all, we let him in to inspire awe and wonder. Verse 2 says, for he has founded it upon the seas and established it upon the rivers. Now, how many of you guys have ever tried to make anything on a river or try to make anything on top of water? It's nearly impossible, right? That goes to show you how great our God is, and that God can, whenever in Genesis he says, let the waters under the heavens be gathered together in one place and let the dry land appear. That's the power of a God. He told the oceans, hey, look, you will go no further. You will stop right here. This is the line right here that I'm drawing in the sand. And water, you cannot go any further. And so thus we have beaches, and thus we have the banks on rivers and all these different things, because God said so. He established the lands upon water. How awe-inspiring is that? That's amazing. So David uses these first two verses in Psalms 24 to cause us to reflect on the goodness of God, of Creator God. Now, one thing that you need to establish in your heart, if it's not established already, that God is the Creator. That God created all these things. You know, so many people search for answers. They search for where we came from and, you know, did we evolve from monkeys? And was it a big bang in the sky? Was it all these different things? I'm thankful for Genesis 1:1 that says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Let that be established in your heart that God is Creator God. And that even though your situation may look like gloom and despair, that God is Creator God, and that God owns everything. Amen. He is not limited in resources as we are limited in resources. He owns it all. Amen. Let that be established in your hearts today. And so in the next verse, it says, in verse 3, it says, who shall ascend to the hill of the Lord, and who shall stand in his holy place? And so my third point is, let him in to ignite a longing for more of him. Now, this is interesting. So David is looking at the earth, and he is looking at all of God's creation. But yet, he is still missing something. He still has a void in his life that is not met by the earth, and is not met by the beauty of God's creation. He is still longing for something more. He realizes that, hey, look, in order for me to have this void removed, I need to ascend into the hill of the Lord. I need to be in the presence of God. And all these things, these mountains and rivers and trees, they're mute, they're beautiful, they're amazing, but yet they are not fulfilling. I need something more. I need to be in the presence of God. He is my sustainer. He is the one who gives me life. He is the one in whom I am satisfied in. But yet so many people will try to find satisfaction in earthly things and try to find fulfillment in worldly things. Whenever Dave says, no, I will ascend to the hill of the Lord, because that is where I find ultimate satisfaction. That is where you're going to be satisfied, church, in the presence of God. In his presence, he has everything that you need. Amen. So, let him in to ignite a longing for more of him. How many guys just want more of God in your life? You just want more. You're hungry for more of him. The Bible says those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, they shall be filled. Amen. Let us not get to the place where we're content in our walk with God. Let us not get to the place where I know everything about the Word of God. I know everything about there is to know about God. You don't know nothing. We realize how magnificent God is just with that little video. And now we realize how insignificant we are in comparison to it all. Let us never get to a place where I know it all. But let us always be at a place where, God, I'm just hungry for more of you. I'm just wanting to ascend to the hill of the Lord. I'm just wanting to be in your presence. Amen. 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 How many guys believe that that's where you find true life? In the presence of God. Amen. Who shall ascend to the hill of the Lord, and who shall stand in his holy place? And so he has this idea that not everyone can ascend to the heel of the Lord. Not everyone will stand in his presence. How many of you guys know that sin separates us from God? So those who are sinful, they are separated from God. They don't have that access that we have as believers. Now, I do believe that they can obtain this access. They can obtain forgiveness through the cross of Jesus Christ. But those who are living in sin do not have that same luxury and that same opportunity to come into God's presence and to get what they need and to get filled with God. Amen? That's what David says. Who shall ascend to the hill? Who shall stand in his holy place? My next point is this. Let him in to change the inside of who you are. Let him in to change the inside of who you are. Because David begins to talk about having clean hands and pure hearts. You know, we let Christ in. Into our lives, because we know that we cannot remain the same. We cannot be the same anymore. We need him in our lives to change us each and every day. Yes. Amen. Many of you are looking at me like, yeah, right, I'm good, right? I don't need to be changed. Really? So let's for the last past day or so, let's just display all of your thoughts on the screen. Uh-oh. All of a sudden, I'm not so good anymore. All of a sudden, I need Jesus in my life. All of a sudden, I need his grace and I need his forgiveness. All of a sudden, I need a defender to come to my rescue because I'm a sinful man. Amen. So we let him in to change us from the inside out. And so the stipulations he gives in verse 4, he says, these are the people who can come into the hill of the Lord, those who have clean hands and a pure heart, who does not lift up his soul to what is false and does not swear deceitfully. He said, look, if you want to ascend to the hill of the Lord, you got to have clean hands. That your actions, that what you do with your hands are righteous and they are godly, that you are doing good things with your hands, that you are being productive with your hands. You're not sinning with your hands. They are clean. So he's looking at the works, but he also says it's not just your works. It's not just doing the outward thing that is appeasing into man's eyes, but it's also having a pure heart, which is pleasing unto God. So God sees both the clean hands and he sees the heart. God searches us and he judges us according to the motives of our heart. Amen. Amen. So we do what is right before men whenever you go to work. You show up on time. You know, you show there even early before everybody else, and you work hard, and you work unto the Lord. You have clean hands, and you work diligently unto the Lord because you represent him. But then you also have a pure heart. Everything that you do is out of pure motives. You don't just do, you know, a lot of people try to obtain salvation by just doing a bunch of good works. Here's the problem with that. Our good works are like filthy rags, the Bible says. So therefore, that's why we need to have pure hearts. That's why we need Christ to come on the inside of us, change us, and make our hearts pure. Then we can ascend into the hill of the Lord. Amen. Then we can stand in his holy presence. And then we can get that which we need for life and godliness. Amen. So, how important it is for us as believers, men and women of God, to not only have clean hands and pure hearts, but he talks about having make sure our words are not deceitful. That we are men and women of our word, that whatever we say to others, that's what we're actually doing. That we're being truthful with our words. We're not saying one thing and doing another thing with our actions. But whatever, let what we say be yes and amen. Amen. Let us be truthful with our words. Those who are not truthful with their mouths do not have the right to ascend to the hill of the Lord. The next thing is that we let him in so that you will be truly blessed. How many guys want to be blessed in your life? Amen. We all want to be blessed. We all want the blessings of God upon our life. Let him in. Let him in so that he will begin to bless your life. It's not only about the blessings, but there is a blessing that comes with letting him in, amen? There is no greater joy than having the Lord live in your life. It really is a blessed life. It really is the ultimate joy that any person can experience. It really is the greatest to live for the Lord. It is a blessed life. Look at verse 5. He says, he will receive blessings from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. So the reward for us, for those who ascend to the hill of the Lord with clean hands and pure hearts, is that we will be blessed, but also that God will declare over us righteous, righteous. That means that we are in right standing with God, that there is no more sin, that there is no more defilement, there is no more corruption, that at the end of it all, when we stand before God, the judge, he says, justified, he says, redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ, made new, washed in the blood of Jesus, forgiven, cleansed, amen, made righteous. We will be made the righteousness of God through Christ Jesus our Lord, amen. Isn't that awesome? That he's our defender and that we will be righteous. Though we were sinful and though we deserve to die, though we were made an enemy of the cross of Jesus Christ, a new name is written over us, forgiven, justified, redeemed, righteous. Verse 6 says, such is the generation of those who seek him, who seek the face of the God of Jacob. And so in every generation, there's been a remnant of people seeking after God and just going after God and living after him. And so Jacob right here is mentioned by name as one of those individuals. And the blessings of Abraham were poured out upon his son Isaac and poured out upon his son Jacob. And the blessings are there, right? And so in every generation, there's been this remnant of people who sought after the Lord. And Jacob, he's mentioned by name because if you remember the story, there was a point where he just wanted so much just to hear from God. He says, I won't stop, Lord, until you bless me. And he wrestled with the angel of the Lord. And the angel of the Lord touched his thigh and blessed the man, Jacob. And he wrestled with God and prevailed, is what the scripture says. The blessings of Jacob are the blessings that are given to God's people as well. We are the descendants of Abraham spiritually, amen? I truly believe that. And so as Jacob began to seek after the Lord and he found him, we too as children of Israel, as children of God, promises that Israel had, you know, heirs to the promise, that we too can seek after the Lord and that we will find him. If you seek after him, you will find him. Blessed are those who seek the face of God of Jacob. Let him in because he is knocking on the door is the next one. Let him in because he is knocking on the door. Look at verse 7. This is where it starts to get interesting. Lift up your heads, O you gates, and be lifted up, you ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Now, gates are mentioned and doors are mentioned more than once in this particular passage. You think of a gate and you think of a door, it's access. It allows access or denies access to someone or something, right? You have doors on your houses. Why? To keep the people you don't want to come in, right? Unless you live in the perfect neighborhood and you just keep your door wide open. We don't live in the 50s anymore. We know that's not the reality. You have doors and you have gates to allow access and restrict access. And look at what he says. Looking back at it, he says, lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be lifted up, you ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. See, the door is that thing or that gate which is keeping us from having the King of glory come into our lives. The King of glory is knocking on the door and he is wanting to come into our lives and he is wanting access, not just a habitation, but a possession of us. He is wanting to possess our lives, everything that we are, everything that we own, and he is knocking on the door and he said, let me in, let me in, let me in. And David's like, lift up the gates, lift up the gates, open up the doors and let the King of glory come in. It's amazing that David had this revelation about Jesus even before Jesus came to this earth. And we know that it's talking about Jesus because he is the King of glory. Amen? He is the King of glory. In book of Revelation chapter 3 verse 20, it says this. This is Jesus speaking. He says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and eat with him, and he with me. So Jesus is knocking on the door. He's like, let me in. Let me in. Let me into your past hurts. Let me into your past failures. Let me into your grief and your sorrow. Let me into those dark places. Let me into your disappointments. Let me into those generational curses. Let me in. Let me in. Let me into your thought life. Let me into those troubled places that you've been. Let me in. And he's knocking on the door, waiting for you to lift up the gates and open up the doors. Those ancient doors that have been there for so long, that have been there, that have kept the King of Glory out for so long. David says, lift them up. Lift up those gates and let the King of Glory come in. Those ancient doors, those everlasting doors, they need to be lifted up. What are some things, what are some gates that have blocked the King of Glory from coming into your life? What are some things that have hindered you from experiencing a move of God in your life? What are those things that are blocking you from becoming the man or woman of God that he's intended you to be? Is it fear? Is it worry? Is it depression? Is it, what is it? What are those ancient gates that you're facing this morning? Now, David repeats this for emphasis. Whenever things are repeated in Scripture, it's for emphasis. And so we should really pay attention to this, because he says it again. Who is this King of Glory? The Lord strong and mighty. The Lord mighty in battle. The Lord mighty in battle. That's Jesus. You know, we're trying to fight our battles by ourselves. We're trying to do things on our own, and we fail and we stumble. He said, open up the gates and open up the doors and let the King of Glory, the Lord Almighty, the one that has already won, that the one has already paid the price, let him in so that you will be victorious, because he is already victorious. Amen. But we try to fight things. We try to figure it out on our own, especially men. We tend to do this. Like, no, I'm going to figure it out. I don't need anybody else. No, we need Jesus. Open up the gates. Open up the doors. Jesus says in the book of John, chapter 10, verse 1 through 2, he says, truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. And so we know him to be a good shepherd, because he comes through the door and he knocks on the door. He doesn't force his way into your heart. He doesn't force his way into your life, but he knocks. He's a gentleman and he's wanting you to open up the door. Open up the door. Open the gates. Let the King of Glory come into your life. Let him heal your hurts. Let him heal your pains. Let him heal your sorrows. Let him heal your disappointments. Let him give you the victory over that which has been given, getting the victory over you. Be lifted up, you ancient gates. Be lifted up, you everlasting doors. Let the King of Glory come in. If you notice the progression of the Psalms, David first is in awe of God's greatness, and a lot of times that's a good starting point, just being in awe of who God is. Then he begins to give adoration. Next, he begins to have this desire. He says, yes, this, I've looked at the things of earth. I've looked at this world, and they are beautiful, and they are amazing, and they are awe-inspiring, but they don't satisfy. I need something else. I need God. I need the very presence of God in my life. And perhaps some of you are in this place and you've been looking at earthly things to try to satisfy your life. I'm here to tell you that you need God in your life this morning. He is your sustainer. He is your fulfiller. Thank you, Jesus. Y'all turned off the lights and cranked up the music like I'm finished or something. I'm not finished. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Appreciate that. Awesome. Let the King of Glory come in. Amen. Who is this King of Glory? The Lord of hosts, the Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. So we're looking at this progression. Then he desires to ascend to the heel of the Lord. But then he says, look, in order to do this, we must have clean hands and we must have pure hearts. It causes us to look at our motives, to examine our hearts and say, God, is my heart pure? Have I been doing works on the outside just to gain the attention of man? Just to gain the favor of man? Am I doing things on the outside with my hands to make it appear that I have it all together on the outside? But is my heart pure? Are my motives pure? Am I doing it for the right reason? Then, and only then, that we open up the gates and we open up the doors for, so that Christ, the King of Glory, can come in and invade our lives and fill our lives and fill those dark areas that we are experiencing. Amen? It's only then. I'll ask the question again, what gates need to be lifted in your life? You know what it is better than anyone else knows. You know these gates in Jerusalem? It would take 20 men to open up these gates. They were some pretty hefty gates. They were pretty solid. And perhaps in this place today, the gates that you're facing, the doors that you are facing are some pretty hefty doors. They've been there for a while. They've been stuck. And perhaps you need a brother or a sister to come alongside of you, just as those gates of Jerusalem needed 20 people to open up these gates and open up these doors. You need someone to come alongside of you and say, hey, I need some help. I need you to help me to get through this. I need you to help me to get to Christ. That's what the church is for. That's what brothers and sisters in Christ are for. You're not made to do this on your own. Amen. Perhaps that's exactly what it's going to take. You're going to need some accountability in your life. You're going to need someone upholding your hand. You're going to need someone to keeping you accountable. Hey, are you in the Word? Are you searching the Scriptures? Are you praying? Do you have quiet time? Yeah. Amen. We're going to close out in prayer. Now we can dim the lights, crank up the music. Amen. But perhaps you're in this place today. There's some ancient doors that's keeping the King of Glory from entering into your life. And you put these things in. Some were self-appointed doors. I'm not going to let anyone go there again. I'm not going to let anyone hurt me again. I'm not going to trust anybody again because I've been hurt too much before. It's a door that you need to open up and allow the King of Glory to come into. Amen. Heavenly Father, right now we come before you. And Lord, we thank you for this word. We thank you for the psalmist David, the God who was just so in awe and in wonder of who you are. And he desired just to ascend into your heel. And he realized he must have clean hands and a pure heart. Perhaps you're in this place today and your hands have not been clean. Your heart has not been pure. And you need to repent right now before the Lord. And so I would give you an opportunity that you would do so. That you would say, God, that is me. And if that's you can just raise your hand and you can say, God, that's me. I have not had clean hands. I have not had pure hearts. My motives have been impure. I ask, first of all, that you would forgive me, oh God, and that you would cleanse me from all of my sin, and that you will be my defender, God, that you will justify me, Lord God. I pray for all those, oh God, who have hands raised in this place, God, that you would just saturate their life, Lord God, with more of your presence. Lord, that you will help them, Lord, to have clean hands and pure hearts. That we may ascend into the hill of the Lord, that we can go into the presence of God and get that which we need, so that the generations coming behind us will have what they need, and they will be the blessed of the Lord, that our children after us, oh God, will leave a legacy, that they will be men and women of God, the generation that seeks the Lord. Because we chose, oh God, to have clean hands and pure heart and ascend into the heel of the Lord. God, as you clean us up, God, we ask and we just begin to declare right now that those doors, those everlasting doors that we have set up, those doors that have kept you, have kept the King of Glory from coming in, we just speak to those doors right now. We speak to those gates and we command them to be lifted up in the name of Jesus, that the King of Glory would invade each and every person in this room, would invade, oh God, those dark places in our lives, oh God, will invade our secret places. places will invade, Lord God. Our sin will invade, Lord God, our lives. We open up the gates. Notice what the scripture says, that we have to open up the gates. We have to open up the gates so that the King of glory may come in. God, we realize that apart from you, we are nothing. We need your glory to come into our lives today. We need the King of glory. This message I've spoken to you regarding gates and opening of doors, would you just stand to your feet right now? We're just going to pray. As you do, lift up your hands. And I want you to look at that gate. I want you to look at that door that has prevented you. Maybe it's just prevented you from moving further in your walk with Christ. Maybe it's prevented you from being the mother or the father that God has called you to be. Maybe it has prevented you from fulfilling the things that God has called you to. We're going to speak to those gates right now. And I want you to look at that gate right in the eye. Look at that door right in the eye and say, be lifted up right now in Jesus' name. Be lifted up, O gates. Be lifted up, you ancient doors, so that the King of glory may come in. Lift up your gates and lift up your doors so that the King of glory may come in. I want to hear you this morning. I want you to begin to declare it. This is your gate. This is your door. You need that thing to be lifted right now in Jesus' name. So we speak to those gates and we command them to raise. We command them to be opened in the name of Jesus. God, I pray that you, pray for your people, Lord, that you would just give us instruction and wisdom. So, Lord, so that we never close the gates again. But, Lord, that we would allow you into all those places of our lives. That we would say yes to everything, God. That you would not only inhabit us, but, Lord, that you will possess us. God, that we would be your hands, that we would be your feet. That we would say that which you want us to say. And we would do that which you want us to do, O Lord. We would not restrict you. We would not put up gates. We would not close the doors to your plans and your purpose in our lives. So, Lord, we thank you for this message. We thank you, Lord God. And we just declare these gates are open. We just declare that the King of glory is coming into our lives, even right now, in Jesus' name. I believe that. I believe that as you open up that gate, as you say, hey, look, this gate will no longer restrict access for the King of glory. This gate will no longer have a hold on my life anymore. Let the King of glory come in today. Let the King of glory come in today. Let the King of glory come in today. In the name of Jesus. The name that is above all names. In the name of Jesus. God, we thank you. And we just give you praise and we give you glory. And let God's church say amen and amen and amen.
I encourage you as you leave this place to take a look at those Psalms. That was Psalm 24, and to enter into his presence and just join us in that Psalms challenge. Just memorizing the word of the Lord and just reading those scriptures. All youth, if you want to stay in, we'll be leaving at 12:30 to go swimming. We love you guys. See you Wednesday and Thursday and Mom and Tot and all those different things. Be involved in something here at Hope Community Church.